We talked about an ideal day. Think of it as a framework for how you live your weight loss life. Now we're going to talk about protocols and how they can help you make agreements on what you eat and how you want to think about food and specific situations. A protocol helps you establish guidelines for food and thinking. These guidelines save you time because there's no more wondering and negotiating on what you should eat. There's no worrying you'll eat all the things because you've worked through how you want to show up for yourself ahead of time. Protocols help ease worry that you won't know what to eat because you have no idea what will be served. And the best part of a protocol is that it frees you from feeling restricted or deprived like traditional diets do. You are the one choosing what you want to include and what you don't. You are the one thinking through how to best show up and handle yourself instead of worrying you'll be a shit show. A protocol has your tastes and the quality of life you want in mind. Protocols are made ahead of time for common situations like vacations, work weeks, weekends, and more. Hell, I even have a period protocol. That bitch happens every month, and I have a written plan for how I eat and think when Mother Nature arrives. You can have a protocol for meals prepared by partners. Often, my nobious women are freaking out that they have to plan food ahead of time. They are like, Corinne, my partner cooks, and they don't like planning ahead. I never know what they are cooking, so I can't possibly have a protocol or even a daily plan. That's some bullshit right there. And that's the same horseshit mindset we use on vacations and dinners out with friends during the summer. Look, you can always have control over what goes on in your mouth. Think about what decisions you can make ahead of time when you don't know exactly what's being served, instead of laying on your fainting couch thinking you can't do this. So why is this important? Because we're used to diets teaching us that food is the problem. Y'all, food is just food. The real problem is learning how to wait for hunger when you're bored as fuck in the car and the kids are driving you crazy. The real problem is stopping at enough when something tastes good. You are so used to foods being off limits and eating crap you don't like that in the moment you eat something tasty, you go face down in the food out of fear of never getting it again. Protocols help us remove the restrictions and put in sensible guidelines that create safety and confidence around food. For example, all of my protocols say no bread baskets at restaurants. Now, this has nothing to do with bread being bad. It's because free-ass bread with dinner isn't worth it anymore. I can have bread whenever I want. I use my protocol to show me what's truly important and the abundance of choices that I've got around food. The reason I have you do a protocol is to override the part of your brain that wants to make food a villain or virtuous. The way I think about my protocol is this. It shows me I can eat all kinds of things to lose and maintain my weight. And there are just some things I don't eat because I don't like them. I don't like how they make me feel. And I want to remember that when I'm having an urge or someone says, hey, a little won't hurt. Well, in those moments, I've consciously made a protocol by thinking ahead of time and agreeing with myself. So my subconscious says, bitch, a little does hurt. Deep down, I don't really want it because I've made a protocol. For example, my protocol is very simple. All meats, all vegetables, all fruits, all nuts, all full-fat dairy. The only fried foods I eat are fried chicken livers, because I'm Southern, French fries, and fried oysters. I don't drink sugary drinks or red wine, but I do drink flavored vodkas and club soda, and I like white wine. There's other things on my protocol, but let me tell you how this helps. When I'm on vacation in Vegas, and someone is buying all the crazy shots, it's easy for me to say, no, that's not something I drink because I've agreed ahead of time. I don't drink that shit. When I order salads, it's easy to sub out grilled chicken for fried because fried chicken isn't a food I happen to love and that I think is worth it. Protocols help me in situations where my old eating habits like to come up. Even after 15 years of losing 100 pounds and keeping it off, old thinking around food like, ooh, that looks good or a little won't hurt, it shit still happens. But the good thing about a protocol is that you've decided on foods and you've practiced ahead of time in your mind new thinking to use when your old shit comes up. So let's say your grandkids are visiting and you got a pantry full of Little Debbie's, goldfish, and chips. Your protocol doesn't have that stuff on it. The only chips you eat are at the local Mexican restaurant because they're always hot and salted just right. And if you are having cake, it ain't a ho-ho. It's homemade, and it needs to be strawberry or white cake. You see, saying no to the grandkids' snacks will feel easier because you know the types of food that deserve a place in your belly. Goldfish ain't deserving of going behind the velvet rope of Club Belly. They ain't no VIP like chips from La Hacienda. The key to an amazing protocol is planning all the little things you can think of ahead of time. What you want and what you don't want. What you know you want to include and what's no longer worth messing with. And then writing about why this is important. A solid protocol is about loving your reasons for the things you include and the things that you don't. Let me warn you of something that comes up here. Your brain will light up with rules from old diets and things you've been told are good for you and things that are bad for you. You will want to be confused about what's good and what's bad. I don't believe in good and bad food mentality. It is a breeding ground for disordered eating patterns and binge and restrict patterns. I believe in the four basics. When you drink plenty of water and get your sleep, you no longer crave food to give you energy. Your body is set up best to give you your clear hunger and enough signals. When you plan what you'll eat each day and include foods you love and foods that help you lose weight, you lose the feeling of being restricted and deprived. This removes the desire to eat all the things the moment you are tempted or having a craving. And when you wait for normal, easy hunger and stop eating when your body feels like it's had enough to lose weight, well, guess what? Cookies, chips, and cakes can be enjoyed. The problem is when we eat those things in order to enjoy ourselves, to get them out of our system because we keep thinking we can't have them or eat them just because everybody else is having some. Now, for my Nobius women, you have our lessons on the good, better, best system that breaks the restriction and good food, bad food mentality we have all been taught. I want you to rewatch the lesson inside the Nobius Weight Loss course on good, better, best. And follow that up with the good, better, best deep dive lesson inside of Basics 2.0. Now, for everyone else, you might choose not to eat certain foods because they upset your stomach. Maybe they give you heartburn or they cause you to have inflammatory responses in your joints. But those are good reasons to leave them alone. Just remember, there is no right or wrong foods. There's just the foods you will apply the four basics to. You can make as many protocols as you want. The first one to make is your typical one. It's the basis for them all. Then once you get that one done, you can create new ones for vacations, barbecues, spontaneous dinners and luncheons, and anything else that naturally occurs in your life over and over again. The point is to spend time thinking about how you can be successful instead of spending time hoping that you don't screw things up. To make your protocol, you'll want to start with all the food you definitely want to include. Feel free to go wild here. If you like vegetables, you can just say, all the vegetables I like. No need to get super specific unless that helps you. Same with meat. I put all meats I like. Where I get specific is with foods that I need some guidelines. I don't want to write down all the cookies. All cookies are not special to me. I will put things down like homemade peanut butter cookies, white chocolate macadamia nut, or warm snickerdoodles. It's not that these foods are bad, but these are the foods I want to be real clear on which ones earn their way into VIP belly. Next, write down foods you don't want to do, the ones you don't want to eat. For me, my list has things I might be tempted to eat, but I know I'd regret it. For example, I list chips that aren't worth it. My husband loves jalapeno kettle chips. It is so easy to grab a handful of those things. They taste good, but they are not my favorite. I've never ate them laying in the bed with Chris and been excited that I did it. I just decided these chips are no longer worth it, especially knowing I only grab-ass them. The same thing goes for sugary drinks and coffees. These things in the long run, they aren't worth it items to me. It makes ordering at a Starbucks super easy when I know I'm having coffee or an Americano. Lattes just never leave me feeling awesome. So I decided I just don't do those drinks anymore. Then it's time to list excuses and justifications that might come up. Your brain, even with your awesome protocol, will think it's all bullshit. By thinking ahead of time about what might come up and how you'll think instead, you are going to equip yourself to handle things. Most of us skip this part, but to me, excuses and justifications and identifying them, this is the most important. Think of all the excuses and bullshit your brain might think when it's time to eat. Maybe you'd love to bring your own food to a camping weekend. After all, you're going 8 times this summer and every weekend doesn't need to be food-a-palooza. Your excuse, though, might be, you're going to look weird eating your food while everyone else is having hot dogs and s'mores. Address this bullshit on your protocol. What is the best thing that could happen with me bringing my food? What will I say if someone wants me to just live a little? Run through your likely scenarios and prep yourself ahead of time. Maybe you want to limit your drinks when you go to the neighbor's house to play cornhole. Decide on how many drinks and then run through your excuses to drink more and eat like a jackass. How will you talk to yourself in that moment? Who can you ask to help you stick to your plan? What will you say if someone is trying to get you to eat or drink? And the last thing we're going to do is evaluate how things go once you've tried your new protocols out. It is totally normal for it not to go perfect the first few times. What's not normal, though, is throwing the whole thing away because you didn't predict every little thing that could possibly happen. Celebrate what you did do and learn from what happened. Do you need to change anything? Do you need to just try again because you're just getting used to it? Remember, being prepared ahead of time helps you in the moment. Your brain is terrible at making in-the-moment decisions. It will always default to what it's done in the past or to what is easiest in the moment. This is why having a well-thought-out plan ahead of time helps you reduce the chances of doing what you always do in the moment when things get hard. Knowing what you'll say to food pushers, having a game plan for last-minute events, and guidelines for eating and drinking through the summer helps you make those in-the-moment decisions just a little bit easier. All right, everybody. There was a couple of questions. I'm going to be bringing up Kim. And then I want to address these super fast because they came in. I thought they were super interesting. Number one, there's a general talk about like food pushers. So you're going to have a protocol. You're going to be doing things this summer. There will inevitably be people who are like, come on, a little won't hurt. Have this. And somebody asked like, all right, I've already said like, no, and I've done it like politely or whatever. And somebody comes back and says, oh, come on. Now we're all doing it. It's just like high school peer pressure, right? So here's how I handle it. Number one, I have a rule for Corinne. Corinne's rule is I train people how to treat me. How people are treating me is always a reflection. This just works for me, but almost always it's a reflection of how I've trained them. So if I say no once or twice, but on the third time I say yes and I cave, I have now just taught them I really do want it. I just need you to ask me like in a better way. I need you to like just push me. Come on. I really wanted it. Don't be sitting there teasing me, only asking me one time. Y'all, if you don't want people to food push on you, that means you can't be pushed over.
No one can food push, but you can allow yourself to be pushed. So if someone says a little won't hurt, just a couple of suggestions. You can just keep saying no politely, just like, man, I know you really want me to have this. This must mean a lot to you. And say, and just look back on them and say, like, what's it going to do for you if I eat this? Very often people will stop dead in their tracks. They're not expecting that question. Now, if you are not like, oh, I don't know, Corinne, not that ballsy, then you just keep saying no, and you just keep being polite and saying, like, I appreciate it. Like, you must really want me to have this. And because it's the third time you've asked, I still don't want it. Like, nothing's changed. And you just laugh it off. Here's the third option, which usually dead stops somebody in their tracks. They ask you, come on, a little won't hurt. And say, like, well, you know what? I used to think that too. Can I share with you my bathroom behavior after this? Like, I eat stuff like that. It's not pretty, but I really don't have anybody to talk to about it. Most of the time, if you whip out the diarrhea card, buttermilk butt, explosive diarrhea, you do anything like that, somebody's like, oh yeah, I'm not going to ask you about that one no more. And you just train them to stop. The meta thought is, I train people how to be around me with food. If they push food and I eat, I have just taught them I really do want it. It isn't that they're not listening. It's that I keep teaching people, no, what you're offering, I truly want somewhere on the inside. And this is what you have to recognize that's going on with you on the inside. You think you don't want the food. Here's the truth. You don't want to look like an ass. You sabotaging your weight loss is easier than whatever you think is going to happen if you stand your ground with your food. You're willing to throw away your goals. You're willing to throw away your choices. You're willing to do all of that to save yourself some kind of false ass emotional pain. And that is all that's happening. I prefer to people please. Just tell your, I'm a big, if you're in no BS, you will hear me all the time tell y'all, we are not going to lie to ourselves anymore about what's going on. It is not that they're food pushing. It's that I have decided I will be a people pleaser in this moment. It is, I have decided that I think it's rude. And I'm not even questioning that. I'm just going to keep living by my old shit. And that's better than going after my dreams. That's the truth. The other thing that came up is, I'm just on a rant today, y'all. I feel so ranty with y'all today. Probably a good thing. I took my brain drink to the support and all of it. Sleep. A lot of you are asking about sleep in terms of, I'm at a stage in my life where either I have menopause, I have small kids, I have these things happening in my life, a partner that snores, whatever it is. Try to do your best to get your sleep, but it is not a showstopper to your weight loss. If you don't have some kind of weird circumstance, you need to prioritize your weight loss. If you've got something going on in your life, like if this is a season I got to get through, here's what we do. We don't eat over it. We don't sit there and talk about it like it's so unfair. Stop saying it's unfair. Stop saying it sucks. Stop saying it's hard, all this other stuff. I want all of you to take a real deep breath real quick. Everybody breathe in for reals. And then just blow out some bullshit. And I want you to close your eyes. And when I say these two sentences, I want you to think about how you feel. This is so hard. It's so unfair. Here's a bonus sentence. I can't do it because this is happening. If I had to guess, most of you feel defeated, hopeless, bad, a host of shit. Instead of thinking things like, every time your brain wants to say, having littles is hard. Yeah, that's true. But you know what else is true? This is a season of life and I don't have to eat over it. Equally as true. Menopause, I get y'all. I'm in peri right now. It's like I'm on the express train heading straight into the menopause. I already got the night sweats, all the things. You know what I do? I'm like, millions of women have been through it before me. Millions will go through it after me. I don't have to eat over it. I can do a sleepless night. I can do hot flashes. You know how I know I can do them and I don't have to think I can't? Do you know how I know that I don't have to sit there and think they're hard? Because every fucking day I wake up and I move on with my day. Telling a shitty story around it is the optional part, and it is the part that will have you eating over bullshit. We have to, the purpose of a protocol is to get really clear on the kind of person you want to be, ideally to eat that feels right, that feels like a gift, that helps you, that it includes things you love. And when you stop layering bullshit stories, and that's what I teach you inside of No BS. We're all my No BS women. Module 2. Please don't stop using module 2 over and over again until you get it. Until the bullshit quits layering in, hard to follow protocols. You can have all the rules, all the guidelines, all the clarity you want. That will make decisions easier. It will reduce a lot of the thinking. But if you're trying to follow it while bringing in a sob story about your life at the same time, it makes it damn near difficult to do what you know you most want for yourself that feels like a gift. And that's the part that's going to end. Somebody had posted in here about having a really tough time in their life right now. Babies, special meds, all kinds of things. She's gaining weight. She's so tired at the end of the day. All she wants to do is go to bed. Her husband's like, oh my God, but I miss you. I'm not spending any time. Like, yeah. And I miss you too, but I need to go to sleep. We don't have to feel bad. We don't have to sacrifice ourselves for that. We can just say like, miss you too, babe. I'm going to sleep because I need it. And you tell yourself, I don't need to feel guilty about this. Just need to be honest with my partner. I don't need to people please that. And I don't need to sit and talk about how hard this time of my life is. What I need to tell myself is every day, I'm going to take care of these babies. This is the season of my life. And I'm going to learn how not to eat through it. And that might take me some time. And I may mess up. But my goal every day is take care of the babies. Take care of me and my husband and don't eat over all of it. And whatever I need to do to make that happen is what I need to do to make that happen. Somebody else asked about a driving protocol, long trips. So here's the funny thing. Half of you will be in the car for 8 hours going somewhere and you'll say, it's so hard. Oh my God. Them kids and their snacks and my husband and my partner and my girlfriend and anybody else that loves me that's in the car, all they want to do is go to Buc-ee's and they want to get all the snacks. Then I got the other people like, oh my God, it's so hard. I'm by myself. I'm bored as fuck. It's so difficult. My brain just wants to eat to pass the time. Y'all, you got a car ride. Being by yourself or being with your whole family does not make the car ride hard until you think you need to eat your way through a long, boring ass car ride. This is what I tell myself all the time. Yes, driving by myself's boring, but I don't eat over it. Yes, my brain wants to stop at every McDonald's on the way to pass time. That actually delays my trip. If I want something to eat, I have brought the snacks. And this is what I would do in a long car ride. I would bring thyself unsexy snacks. Tell yourself, bitch, if you think you need to eat, you got some baby carrots in there. You feel free, whoop open your bag. You get after your baby carrots. Because most of the time when we think about ahead of time, I want to be the kind of person who can get to my destination and just like, it's 8 hours. Can't I just stop and eat lunch? I don't need to snack. If I'm snacking, it's probably because I'm not actually hungry. It's probably because I'm anticipating. I'm trying to navigate. My brain's doing all these different things. And it thinks eating will lower the temperature. I just need to pay attention to what's going on in my head. And if you can't pay attention to what's going on in your head, for my Nobius women, catch up on thy replays. When you have these long trips, whether you're with your family or not, this is the way I drive in the car with mine. Whenever we go on a road trip, one earbud in, one's not. And I listen to a wicked amount of podcasts and stuff. And then when they want to talk, I'm like, all right, let me pause it. What'd y'all say? That's it. I just solved my problems. All right, Kim, let's get after it. But here's the thing. The reason why I solve my problems is not because I'm smart or gifted or more motivated. Notice how I just don't tell a lot of stories around all this stuff. If you ask me about a car ride, I'm not going to give you 30 thoughts about why it's going to suck and then ask you, now, how do I not eat? I'm going to tell you 30 things about the car ride that I can get done. Or I'll tell you about the destination. Or I'll tell you about how I made it easier on myself to be in the car. And then I don't eat over it. All right, Kim.
Hey, Corinne.
Your baseline protocol. How are you?
I'm okay. How'd you know that I was going to talk about travel?
I did not. But that's a good one. All right. So what do you want? So are we going to talk about a baseline protocol for travel? Or are you talking about your general baseline protocol for all things?
I mean, we can do either one. My biggest problem is we travel full time. So I'm on the road at least one day every 2 weeks and probably one day a week. So I am eating on the road. And I always like have this idea that I'm going to pack food and bring food. And then I never pack the food.
Why?
And I...
Because here's what's funny. We're only talking about 52 days out of the year.
Oh, damn. Why don't I pack the food? Because it doesn't sound interesting, because I'm tired. I mean,
does
I think
packing the food need to be interesting? No. That's a weird criteria to put on. Like, do you find it interesting that you're not losing weight when you eat your face off that day? Is that more interesting?
No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I mean, that's 52 days where I could be doing something productive and I'm just going, oh, fuck it. You know, it's a travel day, so I'll just eat Doritos.
Which like, makes what me happen if you are, how many hours on that day do you normally travel?
We're usually traveling from 5 to 7 hours.
Okay, so less time than it takes me to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
Do you know I don't eat on the plane or in the airport hardly ever?
Oh, wow.
You know what I do? I eat before we start because I'm like 5 hours is what I normally do from lunch to dinner.
Okay.
What's coming up for you right now?
That I don't usually eat breakfast on travel day because I don't want to make a mess and I don't want to have to clean it up.
So Travel. What is your big thought about travel days? It's fuck it mode because that's all you're doing.
Tired.
You're just like, I got like a lot of reasons why I just want to make travel days harder on myself than they need to be.
Yeah. I think it's just because they're tiring for me. So
why is that?
Because I get up in the morning, we have to clean, we have to prep. We live in an RV, so we have to close everything up and pack and load up. And
let me ask you this. What do you think about this? I'm going to present to you something you could do. And I want you to give me your shitty automatic thoughts. I do not want you unless you have a great one, I do not want you trying to give me what you think I want to hear. Kim's new travel day protocol. You get up, like you do your normal pre-travel activities. And the last thing you do is you eat breakfast. Is there any reason why you can't eat breakfast before you go?
The instant thought is, oh my God, I just cleaned everything. Now there's a mess in the kitchen. That's like the instant.
What are you going to make for breakfast that's so messy?
Like a sandwich, which is
no. And that wrecks the kitchen?
No, of course not. But that's like the instant thought was.
That's why I'm asking you, because that thought's not real.
Yeah.
Like you're just like, but then I'd make a mess. Like, and you said it like it's just a fact. And then when I asked you, you're like, well, I'm making a sandwich. And I said, well, how messy is that? Well, it's not. Remember, your brain lies. Right. But the lies sound like the truth until you question them. It'll be like your kid saying, like, you know, I got a D. And you're just going to be like, well, okay. I guess you tried your best. Wouldn't you at least question? Did you study? Did you do these? You would probe. And if they studied, they turned everything in, they did their best, then you can be like, okay, maybe this is test anxiety or something. But if you look at it like, no, you know what? I was afraid that if I studied, I'd make a mess of my room. So I didn't study for it.
Yeah, I wouldn't put up
with that. I felt reasonable.
No.
Right. This is what we have to do for ourselves. Your brains are always thinking shit. We just, like, all you gotta do is ask a couple of simple questions, like, is that true? How big of a mess? And then if you yourself answer, it's really not that messy or whatever, and you're just like, okay, now I know that that thought is just kind of like bullshit. Mm-hmm. And that thought's probably coming up because if I eat breakfast, it means I'm not going to be eating Doritos. And Doritos while driving are so much more fun. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
So I'd rather think crap. So I can eat the crap.
No, and I think I actually catch myself on that recently. Like, I was like, oh, it's time to stop for Doritos. And I'm like, do you really need them? Like, how is that helping? Are you really going to feel better?
Right. That's what we want. We want that coming up. But it's got to start with setting ourselves up for some kind of success. And I don't care if you eat breakfast or not, but I want you to see there's options. Like, Doritos aren't just happening to you. Like, that travel day is not just happening to you. It's like, oh my God, I'm shocked. We're traveling for 5 to 7 hours again.
Again.
Here I am, shocked. One more time, I'm tempted. What? I thought this time would be different. Like, no, you didn't think anything different and you didn't do anything different. So why would you think anything else is going to be different?
Right.
So you can either eat breakfast or before said kitchen gets cleaned, we prep something. How long do you think it would take you to prep enough food for a 7-hour trip? Like, how much do you even need?
Right. For both of us, maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah. 10 minutes of prep before cleaning.
And then maybe 2 minutes of cleaning that up. That's it.
No, I'm telling you, do it before you even clean.
Okay.
So, I'm trying to make it even more efficient. Get your ass up. Do 10 minutes of prep. Be like, here's what we're going to eat for the day. This is going to be great. Think of all the time it's going to save us. We'll have to stop.
We've done that
aisles.
Right. We've done that before and we've really liked it.
Well, so why are we not liking it now?
I don't know. It's patterns, habits, something about it feels special, which is ridiculous because Doritos certainly are special. And
right, what is this rando eat? This is really interesting. This special day every week where we're like, oh my God, it's Dorito day. Like when you say it's special, don't dismiss it because the first thing you're like, oh no, it's not special. Why do you think it's special? Because if your brain is feeling that way, that means it's got a subconscious thought running beneath the surface that's supporting it. We want to disprove it, but we need to know what we're supposed to disprove. Why is that day of eating on the road while you're traveling feeling special?
Yeah, maybe that's because that's like my whole life when I've allowed myself to not have rules around food. Like, oh, okay, it's travel, so you get to play. And I was doing that at the beginning when we started this lifestyle. It was like all the time we were eating that. And then we put the brakes on. We're like, wait, that doesn't work. So then I guess it just like slid to, okay, only on these days we can have like this fun food, which I don't even think I really like. I just
think you like them. You know why I know you like them?
Because I keep eating them.
Wait, here's what I've noticed, Kim, is that you didn't say like, you're going to have to help me. Every time I go to Bucky's, they're out of broccoli. I go in just waiting for raw broccoli and I'm flabbergasted every single time they ain't got them. So I have to get Doritos and I don't even like those. That is not what you said. I'm just going to like, for all of you, it is okay to like Doritos and Cheetos. Chris loves kettle chips, jalapeno. I love pop chips and popcorner. Popcorner's white cheddar. Oh my God, roll me naked in it. Love it. There's nothing wrong with admitting that these are foods you like at all. The problem though is there must be, like, I'm getting the sense that you're not supposed to like them or something, because on one thought it's like, okay, this is our special day where we get to have the special foods. And then you're also saying like, well, I really don't even like them, except you just keep eating them.
Right.
Most people don't eat the foods they don't like.
Right.
So what's going on the other 6 days? Are you restricting or not? And we're just going to get clarity. I want to ask you some yes or no questions.
Are going to be I don't think I'm restricting.
So no, we're not restricting. So what this could be is a hangover of, I really want you to watch the Good, Better, Best videos again. It's in module one of No BS. I need you to listen to that. And then I want you to go and look. If my team will make sure we drop links to any of, like, let's find our best three teachings around Good, Better, Best. And pop it in the chat. Just make sure it's on the internal replay page, because this is coming up. I want you to really think about it, because what I think is having a hangover effect is your brain hasn't caught up to the fact now that you, like, even though you set protocols, you are actually eating foods you like and you're actually giving yourself these things. But when you're like, when it's time, it still is like reacting as if it's been restricted. Because if restriction's not happening, then usually what happens is our brain hasn't been trained yet that we don't have to feel like we need to eat these today, because we actually now plan them. We have decided all of these foods are okay, that they're not bad. The Doritos, they taste great. And they are fun when I eat them. I just no longer want to eat them when I'm hoovering them down, lying to myself that it's a special day. I'd rather eat them when I'm actually going to enjoy them.
Yeah, I think from the very beginning, I've struggled with Good, Better, Best, because it feels like, or my thoughts about them are by, like, if I make this list, then I'm back in diet mentality of what foods I'm allowed to have and not allowed to have.
But here's the thing. There are foods you're allowed. You're already doing allowed foods and not allowing. All of us do it every single day. It's normal. Tell me a food you hate. You do not like.
Liver. Every time you talk about liver, I'm like,
okay. So you don't feel restricted that you're not allowing liver.
No.
Right. Because it's not part of your protocol.
Okay.
This protocol is about the foods you allow yourself because you like them, because you want them, and because they also feel good to you. You have times when you know when you eat them and they're worth it. There are times, like for you, there's like Doritos. I think what you're saying to me is in the car on a travel day, Doritos are not worth it.
That's it right there. Because I was just thinking, you were saying about like the velvet rope thing. on my protocol list, when I filled out my sheet, I put on like loaded fries would be the only way I eat French fries because they're so amazing. And regular French fries are like, eh, whatever, they're not worth it. And so I think that's what it is. It's I'm eating something that isn't worth it. It's not that I don't like them. It's that they're not worth eating. I don't like them enough to...
They're just not earning their spot in your world.
Right, right.
And that's where we remove restriction. Because if you talk about Doritos, like, they do taste good. And I used to really enjoy them and for whatever reasons I ate them. But now, when I really think about the totality of how I want to eat, there are foods that I really love. And there are some I'm just willing to let go of now. That's a very different conversation than here's my protocol. Here's what I'm allowed to eat and I'm not allowed to eat. Yeah. I want you to say, like, here's the foods I'm allowed to eat because I've thought it through. And they're the ones that have earned their spot. Here are the foods I don't allow myself to eat anymore because I've lost the love affair with them.
Yeah, that's a really different conversation.
I have on mine. So like, I'll go over my stuff. So here are all the foods. I'm going to like kind of combo up. I'm not going to take her through the worksheet. So everybody needs to be filling out their worksheet right now. Here are all the foods I do want to include on a regular basis. So what was funny was listening to that video. My protocols changed this last summer. It's not the same. I talked about French fries on there. French fries are not worth it to me anymore. I used to be such a devout, my five foods in heaven, French fries was on the list. And they're not on the list anymore. They've lost their stature because I have included them for so long now. It's rare that I ever get a French fry that's truly worth it anymore. I've traded it up for other things. So, Chinese dumplings got on the list. I don't know what it is, but I love me a little pork dumpling now. And that is worth it food. It took the place of the French fries. All right. Fruits, veggies, water, protein shakes, protein bars, peanut butter, every kind of meat, breads, pastas, all of that stuff I include on a regular basis. All of it. Here's what I put in there. I don't want to eat this summer most desserts and French fries. I'm going to try to go the whole summer without French fries. Because I just realized the last several times I've ate them, it has been a lackluster experience at best. It's really hard to get them hot and fresh. And I own a sports bar and even our own ones are not that great. I told Chris we're going to have to really work on that part of our menu. Then, if I have dessert, I have laid out the exact desserts that I absolutely love. I love a blondie. It's still on my list. And a single scoop of ice cream. I used to be someone who ate a fucking gallon or half gallon at a time. Then I went through my skinny cow days. Like, I went all the way over to like, all right, let's get some like different choices ice cream. And now I'm just like, you know what? If I'm having ice cream, I'm going to have one scoop and it's going to be the real deal now. That's what I want. I put on here are the specific foods I want to include only when they're worth passing the velvet rope. I used to never drink flavored drinks. Now, espresso martinis. I have fell in love with them. I like them. I want them on my summer protocol. But I also have spent a few years like having all my drink protocols. The last few summers we've been in Vegas, I've just noticed like, oh my gosh, when we have a heavy drinking day, it takes me like 2 days to recover. This last trip, we went for 4 days, 2 days at the day club party pool, no less. I didn't drink a lick because I've had my alcohol. And I'm like, you know what? This year, when I drink, I want it on the days where it's going to matter. But I also have days on vacation that I just want to feel good. I want to have days where I have energy. And I want to learn to be the kind of person who can be at the pool with all of her loose skin, her 49-year-old body, scars for days. I want to be the person who learns how to be there and have a good time no matter what. This year, that's become more important to me than just like I've had my years where y'all, for all of you, when it comes to your protocol, I've had years where I needed to plan things because I didn't know how to have like a good time without it. So I had to make sure that my protocols reflected me working on me while also like having some of the things I loved freed me up to do some of the mental work. So I made some sacrifices, but I didn't make all the sacrifices. I've done that for so long that now I'm like, you know what? There's this next level. Remember I was talking earlier about doing the work? Every time you do the work, the next level just presents itself. It never ends. That's been me. For years, I have been like, here's how I'm going to drink at the pool, as if pools and the drink are, they just come together in a six pack. And this year I was like, maybe they don't have to. What would it be like for me to not drink some days on vacation and learn how to enjoy myself and learn how to enjoy my husband and listen for the moments when I'm not enjoying it and be like, and that's the next level work. I work on these thoughts now. I don't want the drinks to drown that part of me out anymore. I want to level up that part of me. So for all of you, I just want you to be thinking about your protocol as a gift you're giving yourself. Hang on, I lost my protocol. There we go. Scoop of ice cream, charcuterie boards. I love them. These are the things that are only coming in my belly when they're worth it. Those dumplings. I love the dumplings. Maybe chips like my popcorners, but I have a caveat for those. Popcorners, when I put a serving on my plate, I no longer eat them out of the bag. Even if it's in an individual bag serving, I put the bag on my plate. I want to get really used to like grabbing a big handful. That's my serving. We're not going back for more. Here are some excuses and justifications. So we kind of went through some of your excuses and justifications. Like this will be like travel day is special. This is when we get to eat the special foods. And you have to tell, what are you going to tell yourself, Kim, in the moments when your brain says, this is the day we eat our special foods?
So I just really liked what you said a minute ago. What would it be like if? So what would it be like if I just went a travel day without stopping for anything to eat? Like just to try that and experiment with that. Because I love that, you know, just that scientist data thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's where I'm going to go with that is, okay, yes, we stopped. What would it be like if I didn't get anything? He can get whatever he wants. I'm not going to get anything and see how it goes.
So I would, this is what I would do. I would, the next question is how do I want to handle these situations going forward? I would list out the two scenarios. Number one is there's a travel day where I don't eat and we stop and I don't get anything. How do I think that's going to go? What are the, like, what's the best outcome? Also, what is my brain likely to say? What are all of my excuses that are likely to come up? And in that moment, what do I want to tell myself that will be compassionate, that will be patient, and that will calm me down? Like just screaming at yourself. Well, a lot of you who are not no BS women, the problem that y'all have being on the outside is that when I say that, this is typically what you're going to say. I'm just going to tell myself, no, we decided. I'm just going to tell myself, well, we decide we're not eating, so you can't have that. That's called being a shrill and an ass to yourself. It's not compassionate. It's directive, but very often it backfires in our face because like our brain will immediately rebel and say like, oh, bitch, I'll show you. I can have it. Don't tell me I can't have something. Oh, I'm going in and I'm going into Buc-ee's and I'm buying out the Dorito aisle. Like we don't want to flare up the rebel voice in ourselves. What we want to do is we want to think about, all right, if I was going to talk to myself about this compassionately, when my brain is thinking, I'm missing out, I don't get to eat my special foods, all those things, you just say like, I get it. You're very used to like eating whatever you want on this day. You're just wrong. These foods aren't special. These are just foods we can have whenever we plan them. I don't take these things away from you anymore. So I don't know why you got to treat them as special. They don't have to be special. They get to just be Doritos again. or whatever you like, saying things like that. And then the second scenario I need you to run through is your husband sitting there chowing down on said Doritos or whatever he likes to get. You're going to be sitting there and your brain's going to be like, you're going to be like the other person I coached. Here I am missing out. That's so unfair. Some of you will be like, if he loved me, he would, he'd be on my bandwagon too, if no snacks. A lot of you would be like, he don't support me. Like, you'd have all the shade. Some of you are just like, oh my God, here we are not connecting. This is what we do together. And some of y'all are just like, oh my God, I hate sitting here without the food. That is said drama that will come up. So now, Kim, what do you think your flavor of watching him eat is going to be for you if you've just decided, like, I may want to eat, but I know I don't need to.
Yeah,
I want to be the kind of person who can sit here. So what is that that you can say?
My immediate flavor is it's not fair that he can eat whatever he wants and not get fat. And I have to be more onto it.
Is that even true?
Not anymore. It used to be true.
We have to tell our brain it's really not true.
That's not really true anymore. And I think the answer is something you said earlier in this program is it's really not going to be worth it in 2 weeks when I still haven't lost any weight. Sitting there for the 5 minutes it took to eat a handful of Doritos, I'm going to regret them later. I'm going to be upset that I didn't keep my commitment to myself, and I'm worth keeping my word to myself. I think that's the thing right there, is that reminding myself that I'm worth it to keep my word to myself and to keep my promises to myself. And that feels really weird to say. Like, you know, you make people cry, and that's almost making me cry.
Then that is what you really want to practice, because probably what's happening is you're not thinking about what you deserve. You're thinking about all the things. Like, a lot of us, when we think about what we deserve, it's like, I deserve to eat whatever I want. Like, do you deserve to eat whatever you want in the moment, an emotional eat? Because all of you can have whatever you want to eat and lose weight, as long as you're not doing it from emotion. Like, I'm being left out. It's unfair. This is special. This, you know, this fit the 53rd or 23rd car ride that's 7 hours long this year is, you know, it's special. It's still special. Like, I don't know. It's trip 23. A lot of you, this is what is coming up for you too, is this fear of being left out, fear of missing out. And I just want to say this again for all of you. Somebody talked about, I was doing real good yesterday until my friend wanted iced coffee or whatever it is that was going on at the Starbucks, and ice cream was involved too. Here's my answer to you. You left yourself out the moment you broke your plan. You didn't include you in your dreams. You left yourself out of your biggest wants and desires. That's the truth of what just happened. In the moment, all you did was people please. All you did was lie to yourself that the way I connect is by what I'm putting in my mouth. If you actually love your friends, if you love your partners and stuff, stop boiling the relationship down to the food you two share. Your relationships are more important. There's more to them. If you want to feel connected to someone, think about how much you love them. Think about all the good things they do for you. Think about all the times they've been there for you. Think about how grateful you are that your friend has invited you to go out and spend some time with her. That's how you feel connected. You sharing a Frappuccino and then grabbing a scoop of ice cream after had nothing to do with it. Because often what happens is we don't feel connected in the moment. If you're not eating, this is what really happens. Your brain, I'm fixing to start messing my hair up, y'all. I do this on member calls all the time. Me and Logan, I don't know what it is, but we think best when we throw our hair up straight in the air. I've got 1,000 pictures of him and his hair is like Don King all the time. What really happens is that you're going to go and you're going to sit there and you feel disconnected because your brain lights up with things like, I wish I was eating that. That looks good. It's so unfair. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, wow.
You're not thinking connected thoughts. You're connecting to what you're missing out on in your mouth. If you want to feel connected to people, you switch, like, I'm not missing out. They're right in front of me.
Wow.
The love literally is right in front of me. And I'm not focused on it. I'm focused on food. That's on me.
Yeah.
And so, it takes time to get used to that, but we have to stop telling ourselves that the way we're connecting is by what we're putting in our mouth. What we're putting in our mouth is muting all of the unfair thoughts, all of the excuses and all this other stuff. And when that's muted, we think we're connecting.
Wow.
Okay. I hope that helps.
That's awesome. That's last night's milkshake.
Yeah. Wow. Let me ask you this. Had you not, like, I know you had a milkshake last night and it was all about connecting and stuff. Let's just pretend you didn't have the milkshake for a moment. And then here you are today. Would you be sitting there going like, oh my God, I missed out on that milkshake. This really sucked. Nope. Blah, blah, blah. Or would you be like, so glad I didn't eat that milkshake. And would you feel connected to your partner?
Yeah, because I would have enjoyed him enjoying the milkshake. And I wouldn't have been sitting there the entire time I was drinking the milkshake thinking, this was not on my plan. I'm not going to lose weight this week. Blah, 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 blah. And there was even a little bit of resentment, like, he suggested a milkshake. He should have, I mean, all kinds
of. You've made me.
But I would have enjoyed him enjoying his milkshake and been fine with it. Yeah. I wouldn't have even, I didn't even want anything then.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Cool.
Well, thank you for getting coached. I think yours really helped a lot of people today. If this was helpful, please heart, thumbs up. So clap hands, whatever, so that we know. Perfect. All right. Thank you, Kim. Hey, keep us posted too in the Facebook how your travel days are going.
Cool.
Thank you. All right. What's up next? We got more prizes. Who's ready for some more prizes? These people have already been reached out to in a private message. So, Christy Razzo from Anaheim, California. Lisa Bland Seelix from Enid, Oklahoma. And Kimberly Telford from South Weber, Utah. I also want to tell everybody, earlier when I mentioned somebody from the UK, they're like, what? Am I the only one from the UK? There's one other person. No BS. We're either in 48 or 38 countries. We are all over the world. We are global bitches. All right. Let's go. I believe it is time to go to the next video. Let's see. Future You, Summer Edition. Future You is something I jam on and something I believe in, y'all. You're going to really love it. Please don't leave now, because Future You is how we learn how to stop going to our past. So here's who needs this lesson. Anyone that says this all the time. Well, I'd start now, but I'm so scared because in the past, I've blown it. Well, you don't know how many diets I failed, Corinne. Well, every time I've lost weight, I've regained it. Future You is about no longer going to the past to figure out what we're going to do today. Future You is about focusing on today and something you can do today to make tomorrow a little better. And so we think more about who we want to be instead of boo-hoo Eeyoring all over ourselves all the time about all of our failures. Never makes sense to me. Like, when every time I catch myself trying to go to my past to say why I can't do something today, I always tell myself, bitch, your past has nothing to do with this. If you're going to eat an Oreo right now, it is not because of 40 failed diets. It's because right now you're not telling yourself no. That's the truth. So we're going to talk about future you. I got to put my glasses on because I can't see shit without them.